Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
The winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year, Jordan Spieth.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Got a little juiced, had lightning on my drive in.
It felt good, didn't it? Little summer thunderstorm.
I don't think I like seeing a ton of lightning for like an entire 22-minute car ride. It makes me feel like, what's happening? Is something crazy happening right now that I don't know about?
Did I wake up in the middle of Nebraska? What's happening right now? Am I in a different state right now?
Felt very Oklahoma. I'm like, somebody, I've seen this before.
Somebody transport me to the Midwest and the Great Plains where we get thunderstorms all the time. Dude, I woke up a little bit earlier because I was curious to see the golf. Like, where is everything at? And like through the curtain of the room, I'm like, what was that flash? What was that?
Okay, so you're in Portland. I'm a little outside of Portland.
Yes, Portland proper.
Portland proper. Yeah. I didn't hear or feel any thunder when I saw lightning. Did you?
I did. Yeah. Okay. Just towards the end, as I was getting ready to leave, I didn't feel it at first. You just saw the flashes, and then I pulled up the ring cam. I'm like, "What's going on?" Because it was right out front of the house, and then I kept the ring cam on for a little bit and saw a couple of flashes.
Yeah, I heard thunder and didn't see any lightning.
Really?
I didn't see lightning till I got in by the station.
And then you got a little bit.
And then it started raining.
Then it's pouring out there right now.
Yeah,
man.
That all happened after I got here.
Everybody going 14 miles an hour on their way
drip,
in.
Drip, drip, drip.
Be all right, people. You're not going to hydroplane. You'll be okay. Go the speed limit. It'll be all right. You see the lightning. And then as I got ready to leave the house, I realized that there were things out in the backyard that I did not plan on it raining. There was like a pair of shoes out in the middle of the lawn, the grill's uncovered. And I'm like, oh, God,
I didn't even think about that.
I got to go.
Oh, my God.
Yes. We have like a box of markers for the kids. We can't let them draw with markers inside because it ends up on carpets and walls.
Those are gone.
So we let them draw on outside. So I'm like, oh, God, all of this is just. And I didn't realize it was raining that hard. It's just, I go outside and I just get soaked. I'm outside for 45 seconds. I think it's kind of fun, though. Like once a summer, twice a summer to get kind of a rolling thunderstorm.
It's supposed to pass this morning.
It's going to be quick. It's going to be 75 and sunny later.
Well, yesterday I went for a nice little shirtless run in the summer heat.
It was hot. It was a little toasty yesterday.
And out near Clackamas where I was running, I kept seeing in the distance like super dark clouds. And I was like, are my eyes playing tricks on me?
What is happening right now?
Is that fire smoke? Why are those clouds so dark? I told the wife, I came in, I go, I think we got a rainstorm coming. And she goes, really? It never happened.
No.
And I was like, okay, they went away. Yeah. I came out this morning. My car's drenched. And I'm like, what?
It's a natural car wash right there. Look at Mother Nature thinking of you.
Supposed to pass by 8 a.m.
Yeah, quick and easy. If you're not an early bird, you're going to miss the fireworks show this morning, man.
How often do you wash your car?
Not often enough.
I think I've been ruined by Rasheed Wallace, who famously was on an episode of MTV Cribs years ago.
With his OJ Bronco.
He showed his OJ Bronco, and it was really dusty and dirty, and he made an offhanded comment. It was like, I live in Portland. Rains too much. Wash car.
Right. What's the point?
And I'd never really heard that or thought about that. Not that my mom washed her car very often.
Right.
But that weirdly has been stuck in my brain. What year did he do that? Probably 01?
Oh, God,
02?
It was early. At the end of his Portland run, yeah.
So, like, for 20 years or longer.
We haven't been washing our car because of Rasheed Wallace?
I just tell myself I don't really need to do it more than a couple times in a year.
I don't do it at all in the winter because of that reason. I'll do one, maybe one.
The winter is the most pointless
There's
time
no point
of the
washing
year
your
to
car.
Do it.
Well, and also, like, what's the percentage of time that you're washing your car that you wash it yourself or go through a car wash?
Yeah.
Because in the winter, you're not washing it by yourself.
I just washed my car about a week ago.
By yourself? Or
by through, myself.
Yeah. And that, in the summer, I'll do that occasionally just because it's hot and it's like, whatever, dude, get
it's
the hose
nice
out.
It's just nice to make it, my car's white.
Yeah, you want it to be clean. If it's not, you know, if you don't wash it for a while, you could see some stains.
It starts to get a little dirty.
The tough part I have whenever I wash the car by hand is there's always like one or two spots that you don't realize you didn't get the cloth over.
Right.
And then you'll have like this circle on your door. Like everything else is clean and then there's just like this discolor. Like, damn it, I gotta go get the rag out again. I gotta go clean that. Maybe once, twice a summer at most. But it was ironic because I was thinking my brother just used the truck to go get mulch like a week and a half ago, which is, you know, hey, use the truck. It's the family truck. But now there's little mulch things everywhere. I'm like, all right, I gotta go wash the truck. Come outside today. Nope, I think we're good. It's all gonna wash off.
I was going to ask him, Swag. I was going to go, your brother borrows your truck to get his stuff. And then I thought, I've also actually asked him
the same thing.
To help me get stuff.
I had to go pick rocks up for you one day. What is this, man? Come on. Waiting for that rock payment. Where's my rent?
Part of that, that's when you're a truck owner.
You have to. When it's your only truck in the family, you're the truck guy. And people are going to need the truck occasionally.
So I don't know how or why. I haven't looked it up. But for some reason, this detailing company has popped into my Instagram algorithm. Mm. And it's when they find these old cars or cars of value that have just been parked in barns and backyards.
Sitting around, nothing's been done to them.
And they pull them out, and they're basically a detailing company, and they just show you how good they can make the car look that's been forgotten about.
Pretty cool.
There is something for me that is so weirdly satisfying when they do the spray soap.
Yeah.
When they cover the whole car in that white layer.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I do it, I got car soap at my house. I pour it in a little bucket. I put water in it.
Right.
I got my little, my car wash brush. It just does not hit.
It doesn't do the same.
It works. It does the job.
It's cleaner than it was originally.
But I just want to cover my whole car in that white substance. Go around and scrub the areas that are a problem, and then just just rinse it off. There is something so weirdly satisfying about that.
That's all
that.
You should have to do. I don't need to scrub anything. I just got foam, hose it off. Now
great.
I'm all done.
I love it.
I don't want to have to do it. And how often, too? Like, half the time I feel like I wash the truck, I don't have any form of car soap at the house.
Yeah, I bought a container, and if you just, like, it's a quarter's worth that they tell you to use.
That's so all that you technically
I've had it
need.
For years.
Yeah, and it stays forever. I haven't bought one in forever, and then you're like, all right, what kind of soap do we want to use today? Should we get some dish soap out? What do we want to roll with? I need to wash the truck, and I don't have any available soap right now.
So how many times would you say in a calendar year you actually, from January to December, how many times do you think you actually wash your truck?
Twice.
Twice for the whole year?
Probably.
Oh.
By hand, twice.
Do you go to the car wash?
Maybe one other time.
Yeah.
Maybe a total of three washings a year.
You're not a camper, though, so like your
truck
doesn't get dirty.
I'm not
like
going
that.
Off-roading, man. No. It's not. I don't need mud flaps.
You didn't get a truck to go off-roading.
I don't got naked ladies on my mud flaps in my...
Why did you get a truck out of curiosity as a city boy?
Go get some mulch, man. You need some mulch? I got you,
mulch,
dude.
Yeah. Holland Golf Clubs.
Holland Golf Clubs, huh? You need me to move a couch for you? Not a big couch, but I can move a little couch.
A love seat.
Do you have a love seat that needs to go from place to place?
Maybe a futon.
I'm your man if you need that, all right? I got you covered, brother.
Might be the most urban cowboy thing of your life is that you got a truck and you live in Portland proper.
You never really use it, and then the like five times a year that you actually need it, you're like, man, I'm glad I got a
clutch,
truck. And then the rest of the time you're like, why do I have a truck? I don't need it. This is ridiculous. I'm not putting anything back here.
Exactly.
It's just dirty.
You're
I
trying to park in a
out.
Parking garage. There's no spots.
There's only skinny, tiny spots. I need to back it. It's a pain in the ass. And then it's, you know, hey, somebody wants to do a load to the dump, and you're like, I got you, dog. I'm the load to the dump guy. Okay,
dog.
That's what I'm here for, man. They're like two dump runs a year. There's a big Selwood cleanup day every spring. We load that up with like three loads. So it comes in handy from time to time. But largely, you are correct. I don't really need a truck.
Swag, you?
Never washed by hand.
Well, you're an interesting setup, though. You're a little different than us. You got like a shared parking lot.
Yeah.
I want Swag shirtless out in the shared parking lot. with the hose.
No.
Why?
Psh, spraying it
why
around.
Do you want him? Woo! Why do you want him like naked?
I want to see his body. I want to see what he's doing over there. What's he cooking?
You want him to be the guy from Dodgeball when the weird dude pays him to wash the car in his short shorts?
That's exactly what I want, man.
He came back. It's his third time washing his car.
Bless the giver. Like swag out there with his shirt off, man.
Just a mid
putting on a show
guy.
For the ladies in the complex, huh?
No, nobody needs.
Calling you out
nobody
the windows.
Needs that. No, Salvano. There's.
Take it off, Jason.
No, there's a car wash about a mile. It's not very far. It's down by the Wingstop.
Hey,
actually.
You get some wings after you wash your car.
We can do a little two for a ride.
Now, do you do the wings and then the car wash, or the car wash then the wings?
No, you do the car wash.
Okay.
Then
no, you get
in.
The wings and you eat
while you're
going
sitting in
the car
wash. It's also not a bad idea.
What a delightful little experience!
It takes
that
a couple
is.
Of minutes to get all the way through that thing. I could probably do two wings in that time.
So how many times do you think you go through that car wash?
Six to eight a year.
So I did this. I did the poll question. It's our first poll question of the day. How many times do you wash your car a year? 1 to 2 times, 3 to 4 times, 4 to 5, 6 plus.
Yeah. 6 plus people, man. Maybe you're like like a car wash executive member, and you have so many you have to use per month.
I always wonder, like,
is that worth it?
Those are people that really are nice washing cars. Their car every week.
Every week.
You have to be doing that.
Some people do that.
There may be the off-road people, camping people.
Sure.
Or they got a boat, or they got there's something.
Well, I connect haircuts and car washes. To
haircuts
me, they're the
and
same.
Car washes?
I think they're the same for me, where I should do them more often, but I don't. And then I wait till the hair is overgrown, and you're like, God, I got to go get a haircut.
I'm at that stage right
90%
now.
Of the car washes, you're like, Jesus, this thing is filthy. I got to go get it cleaned off.
Yeah.
And instead, I should probably do it preemptively before it gets out of control a little bit easier, but I don't do it.
You also have like it's a color of gray of some sort. It's a darker gray.
Yeah.
Your car, you can't really see the dirt very much.
No, not really.
Yeah, my car is white.
White's a little bit tougher. White, that's one of the things people tell you when you buy a white car. Just be careful.
Yeah,
that's one of the downsides is it's going to get dirty and people are going to know when it's dirty.
I think the good thing for me too is my personality type. I don't really care either.
No, don't bother.
So if it looks a little dirty to you and I haven't washed it in a couple weeks, I
don't judge anybody's car if I see it being a little bit dirty. Like if I'm walking out the parking lot and you're walking your car and you're next to me, I'm not going to make a comment.
No.
Look at that filthy car over there.
Do you have the people that cuz I when I go through a car wash, I don't do it very often, but when I do, just out of sheer laziness.
Right.
And you get to the pay part and they're always like, do you want the basic? Do you want the deluxe? Do you want the extra deluxe?
You
want
the
VIP? Or are you a member? And I'm always like, can you really, honestly define the difference?
Nope. It's a way to get $4 out of you.
It has to be, right?
That's the only reason they do
it. It has to be a scam.
Yes. Well, now we'll shine your rims for you. Do you want some shiny rims on top of it?
No, you don't. I've seen a person get the more expensive one than me.
It's only $17.99, Sprague.
And I've like almost mentally taken the note of observing what did he get different here.
Yeah. As you're pulling out, does he look cleaner than I do?
And it's largely, it borders down between a 16-year-old high school kid's first job, spraying your tire with a little hose, and then you not doing that for my car. That's how it feels, payment-wise, difference. It
absolutely.
But
does.
I do wonder with the people that have the memberships at these car washes, because I think it's like usually like $25 a month.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah.
You're not using that in the winter. Why?
No.
Nobody's going to notice how clean your car is in mid-February.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea, man.
You're going to have to do it again anyway. But also, they have to be absolute sickos who have their inside of the car incredibly clean because those vacuums are amazing.
Yes. In reality, that's the part of the car that we should all clean more often, especially with kids.
I just did it. It does feel
phenomenal.
Infinitely better cleaning the inside of your car than the outside of your car.
Because you see it more, right? In the outside,
you're
you see it when you get in. You're like, oh, look at that. It looks looking nice. And then you get in it and you realize, okay, I have dust all over my dashboard. There's 3 candy bar wrappers in the back seat. Mm-hmm. There's dog hair everywhere.
Yep.
Like, that's the one that you feel significantly more after you do it. That's such a good feeling to get that done.
I love it.
Get in. Especially if you get, like, maybe you put a new air freshener in when you do it.
Do you do a car freshener?
I try to because it smells delightful when you do it.
My kids, my family, they criticize me for it. I do the new car smell. I love the new car smell.
Right, they don't like that smell?
Like, I love, like, at the end of this shift, when we get out of this building, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to get in that car, and I'm going to go, clean. And my kids get in and go, oh, what's that smell? And I'm like,
it's a new car smell.
Would you prefer a fart? I mean, I don't know what you want here. It's a new car scent. How can you complain about this?
You come up with a fart scent?
My kids just hate my car. It doesn't matter what car I drive. They hate being in my car. And my wife's car
is
ironic.
How close is the oldest to getting a permit or a license?
She's going to be 15 in January.
Yeah. Right around the corner.
She's knocking on the door.
She's right around the corner.
Real damn.
All of a sudden, who's a fan of dad's car? Hey, dad, can I have the car? Hey, dad, can I go for a joyride?
Because my guess is probably not getting mom's car.
No, most likely scenario, we don't know yet. We're still trying to work that out.
Figure that one out.
We paid mom's car off. Mom's car is a little older than dad's.
Yes. Okay. Which is the irony of them not liking your car. Your car seems nicer than your mom's car. You're not your mom.
I mean, they probably don't like the way I drive. Okay, I get that quite often from my family members.
A little too aggressive?
I'm a little bit.
You are. You got a little East Coast in you.
Got a lead foot.
You're cutting people off.
Hey, the Sprags are from the East Coast originally.
That is true. It's in your DNA.
I got a lot of East Coast in me.
It's in your blood. I feel like that tune's going to absolutely change in January. When it's time to get that permit, and is she going to get it right away?
I don't know. She hasn't really discussed it.
Yeah. How does it work now? Because didn't it back in the day, didn't you have to have it before your license, or am I misremembering?
No, you
that?
Definitely have to have
yeah,
it.
That's what I thought. But is there like a time period you have to have it for before you can get your license?
No,
you have to be 16.
Well, I know, but I didn't know if like you had to have it for like a 6 month for your couldn't remember that. No. It's been a long time. Man.
We probably practice in mom's car.
Yeah.
But I'm in it.
Oh, okay.
I'm also gonna be big.
Are you the better parent to learn to drive with?
That is TBD. I'm a
break.
I don't know if my wife could handle being in the car with a kid learning to drive. And also, my wife is incredibly directionally challenged. I could drop my wife off 2 miles from the house and she would look around and go, I don't know where to go.
I'm lost right now.
There's like 4 stores my wife knows how to get to.
Yes.
And if something happens on the route back.
Off the beaten path.
It's, give me a second, I got to look up the address.
Hold on, let me plug in our home address.
Because she doesn't know the alternate ways,
you
right?
You just got to take a left and a right, then you're right back to where you needed to be. It's right
so
there.
So maybe she, like emotionally, is better in a learning situation than me with my kid. But directionally, she's a little more challenged.
Okay.
So I'd imagine it's going to be me with the daughter in an empty school parking lot in her car, my wife's car.
That's an uneasy feeling to think about. I remember those days of driving with my mom in the car and then getting so frustrated of like, I know what I'm doing, Mom. Like, you get upset when she's telling you to do stuff. Mm. And now as the roles are reversed, obviously a long ways away from me, I'm going to be exactly the same.
Were you driving with just your mom or both your parents?
I think mostly just my mom.
So your dad was basically, I can't do this.
Yeah, it might have just been a work thing too. He was gone longer. And so
well, your
was
mom's
like,
a teacher by
nature.
Yeah,
she was around. So in the summertime, she's off. And it was just, you're ready and available. Let's go learn. Let's go, you know, tool around a parking lot a little bit. Mom, I can drive home. No, you can't. Damn it. Getting all frustrated.
I remember my break point because obviously I didn't have a dad. So the mom was like, I gotta teach you.
This is it.
Got the permit. Super excited about it. And I'll never forget, I drove with my mom twice. The first time was to a 7-Eleven. That was maybe a tenth of a mile from our house. I was like, can I drive 7-Eleven? She goes,
it's like four blocks away.
Then the second time was a couple weeks later. She finally let me drive like 7 miles away. I had already, by the way, been learning to drive. My old basketball coach in middle school would pick me up to let me go play at the middle school with the older men's game that him and some buddies would play in. And he would let me drive with no permit
just
on the
freeway.
Jump
in the car, you're fine.
It's actually, I learned to drive a stick shift.
Yeah.
But I get in the car with my mom. My mom's basically not driven with me. And I will never forget my break point. I drove my mom twice. The second time, we're driving down a really busy road. And it's a yellow light. I'm going maybe 42 in a 35.
Right.
I'm a little faster than the speed limit.
But in the respectable zone.
People are still passing me.
Yes.
And I'm not in a comfortable spot away from the light where if that thing turns yellow, slow down to stop. It's in that, hurry up.
Hurry up, go, go, go.
So I'm in this spot. It turns yellow. I'm at 42. I'm like, we'll just get through this nice and easy. And my mom, who's not paying attention, turns, sees the yellow.
Freaks out.
And I was like, no! And I slam the brake. I skid the car. I'm almost an entire car length past the crosswalk.
You're in the middle of the intersection.
On a red. And I turn to her And I have to, she goes, back up. And I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah.
We fought.
And that was it.
For an hour.
It didn't happen again.
I mean, it was World War III in that car. And I was like, I'm never driving
with you
again.
I know what I'm doing, Mom. I know how to go through yellow.
Got my license. She goes, how'd you do? I got 100%. You didn't scream in my ear.
The instructor.
The instructor. In your face.
I failed my first driving test. I almost got in an accident.
Really?
I did, dude. I panicked.
What DMV did you go to?
82nd? I think I went... Oh, that's a good question. Oregon... Gladstone, maybe?
I went to the Powell one.
Powell one, yeah. I remember hearing bad things about the Powell one, and the Gladstone one, I think, was supposed to be easier
to
pass.
Bad things? What does that mean?
The route of driving was more difficult because of the roads around it.
I don't remember.
And I, he said, take a left up here, and there was a turn lane, and I thought, okay, he means here. And then he was like, no, I'm at the next light. And I'm like, thanks for that, tips. So then I had to get back into the other lane. I'm panicking. Like, damn it, I went the wrong lane, and damn near hit a car. And failed. Cool. Let's go try this again in a couple of months.
I ended up passing pretty easily the license. I failed the permit a few times.
Yeah, the written permit part, yeah.
On the driving part, though, I didn't get docked for it, but I should have. We were in a neighborhood, and they were like, all right, pull up to the curb. And I had a moment like where my brain, I go, on the right?
You mean?
And she goes, yeah. And I go, I know. I was just testing you.
And just making sure you know what you're doing on this thing.
She actually thought it was funny and that I was joking. But I was mentally like, do I go left or right here?
Play that one off pretty well. Yeah, of course it's right, you moron. I'm just making sure you're on the up and up over here.
Wash your cars more and pick the right parent to drive with.
Enjoy the lightning and thunder this morning, too. It'll be gone soon, and we probably won't get another one this summer.
It was cool.
It was fun.
Threw me back to, when I was flying to Nebraska with your family, I was flying over that thunder and lightning storm.
I also thought, glad I spent 20 minutes watering last night.
Yeah, there's
not going to get that water back.
Yeah, touche.
That water's not coming back.
It's going to the data centers.
Yep.
All right, we got a busy show today, a lot to talk about. Let's start the GOAT back in the final. We'll start there, Dirt and Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Messi resets, Messi driving in, Messi crossing back, Paul, there it is, Lautaro Martinez, stoppage time, go ahead goal for Argentina.
John Strong on the call, Fox Sports, go ahead goal, Argentina gets a couple goals at the back end of the World Cup semifinal against England, and they advance to their second straight World Cup final, take on Spain. In what was a pretty interesting match.
It was a fun game.
I don't pretend to know a lot about the analytics or the X's and O's of soccer.
Mm.
I watched an entire season of English Premier League, and I still couldn't quite figure out strategy stuff.
Can I get the ball forward? Well, send across it.
I didn't like how they dropped our two mid-strikers down to the up front. I'm like, what the hell are we talking
about? Who dropped where? Where did he go? What's
I'm admittedly doing? Raising the hand. Still learning about the old beautiful game.
Yes.
But even I, not knowing much, could see, what is England doing here? Just saying, we're just going to settle back. We're going to choose to play defense.
What do they call that? Parking the bus in soccer?
Parking the bus.
Yeah, you got park the bus defensively.
And Argentina says, let's load up on strikers and passing, and let's just go for the gusto here. And they ended up getting it, eliminating England.
It was wild because it felt like there for a moment. That game, by the way, significantly better than the France and Spain game. Like, that was fun. England scores, you got a lead, but Argentina is so good and they had so many chances that you're like, something's going to happen here.
Why was that game for you? I know the outcome ended up being a little different, but it was 1-0 for a long stretch.
It's the idea of how many goals has Spain given up in the entire World Cup?
Not a lot.
One.
Okay.
What was the lead?
But even with a France,
and I know
you
it's
don't...
France. I just look. Maybe they had a chance to do it. I just the chances of them scoring two goals in like 10 minutes seemed relatively small. Although Argentina was able to do it yesterday, but England's not as good defensively based on the numbers as Spain is. It felt like the final of that game could have been 7-1.
Mm.
They hit the post twice. How many near, like, it felt like for a 10-minute stretch, like,
a couple really nice
how are
saves.
They not, how are these not going in? It was only a matter of time. It was like 15 straight minutes. They're just peppering him with shots. And then it felt like it was just the dam's got to break eventually. England put in a couple of subs who were defensive players, bigger bodies, not goal scorers. And then all of a sudden you got a tie game and then you're losing. And now the lineup isn't the lineup you want out there because you don't have all your normal strikers out there. Look, it was fun, man. What Messi did at the end of that game further cemented, I'm sure, the GOAT status for people who debate the soccer GOAT. Like, he had both assists. He drew two defenders, set up an open shot. The cross to set up the game-winning goal was remarkable. That was a great game, man. And Argentina just would not give up. What a brutal, heartbreaking loss for England. To have a 1-0 lead in, what, the 86th minute, I think, was when the first goal was scored by Argentina. So, yeah, you got 10 minutes-ish to go to hold on, and you give up two, and you end up losing. That's a brutal, back-breaking loss.
I couldn't help but think about our guy, Mark Hamilton. He came on. Came on really.
He was feeling good.
Really good about their chances to win.
I mean, Argentina, to his credit, I mean, they've been playing with their food a lot in this tournament, but it's still Argentina.
Yeah, maybe, I guess, if you're in a different city, like if Bloomington had a radio show.
Bloomington, Indiana.
Or Indianapolis is suddenly caring about college football, and they're like, it's an Oregon-Indiana game, and you go on to do a hit. I could see you being kind of cocky sniffing. Just to be a kind of a heel.
I mean, it's Indiana. What are we talking about here?
But that's not what this was. This was a friend of our program, a friend of the building, and he came on, and his team hasn't won the World Cup since 66.
No.
And he's like, I think we're going to win.
If we win, we're going to beat Spain.
like,
All right. I take back everything I said yesterday about Oregon winning a national title. Mark Hamilton's confidence is gone. It's not going to affect my Oregon.
He kind of put it in you.
He did. He kind of injected me with a little bit of life of like, you know what? Why not? Why not us? Let's believe and say this is going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not happening anymore.
The devastation. Also, the emotion of the other side when you see those Argentina fans.
Dude, crying. It's like 2-year-olds bawling their eyes
out. Screaming and crying when they win that match.
Yeah, it was pretty bonkers,
It was a good spectacle in Atlanta.
It was a great call by John Strong. That game was phenomenal.
Did you see that he's become polarizing for soccer people?
Really? How come? People don't like John Strong?
There's a lot of people that like Ian Darke. Ian Dark or Ian Darke?
Dark, I think.
It's just Dark.
I think it's Dark, yeah.
All right.
Darke would be cooler, though.
He's got the E on there. You kind of drag it out.
Throw an H on the end.
It's kind of badass. No, Joe Dirtie.
Darke. Hey, Darke, you calling the game tonight? I mean, there's a more authentic sound, I think, when you have an international sounding voice because it's the
world's game. Oh,
you think
it's the American voice?
I think that's probably what it is.
Ah, interesting. When
you, like, we love the I don't know what the Telemundo guys are saying, but half the time I put it on just to hear them yell goal.
Can you can you find the Telemundo call? Maybe their Twitter account.
I'll send it to you. I know where it is.
I've been watching Telemundo
because of that. It's not that I think John Strong's fantastic at calling soccer. That's not the point. It's just like, man,
what's his name? Andres Cantor?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Oh my god, dude! Yes. I think the second goal broke his brain because he was not in any way thinking. Yeah, they're going to get two this quickly.
Well, and then in the moment before, if you remember, like, they hit the post 15 seconds before.
Yeah.
For like the third time in 5 minutes. And then it ends up back on Messi's foot, and he sends the cross in, and you head it in, and that's the game winner right there.
Yeah, we'll pull the Telemundo call because it was extraordinary, especially the second goal. But you know what's happening to a couple guys today?
What's happening?
Well, they were singing Hey Jude because of Jude Bellingham.
Yes.
Even my daughter came down and was like, hey, what's the score? And I was like, oh, it's 1-0, but Argentina's kind of starting to press him a little bit. And then they lost, and she came back down. She goes, Jude's out? And I'm like, why do you know Jude Bellingham?
How do you know Jude?
What's, damn it, you're growing up.
What's going on here?
But Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane, Harry had the assist at least on their goal.
And he's been, it felt like carrying them at moments
but
in this tournament.
But they got kind of some backlash, and I'm like, what are we giving backlash for?
Oh, they got criticized, huh, for losing the game? Oh, I mean, it's England.
They didn't play amazingly, but also Harry Kane got an assist.
Yeah, and there, what was the game 2 matches ago where they were down, 1-0 in the second half, and didn't he score 2 goals in like a short amount of time to lift them over the top in a knockout
round game?
He's been
remarkable
like,
for them in the World Cup.
He's been amazing. He's kind of carried them to this point. It's just, when you haven't won one for that long, man, like, I don't know if that's a back-of-your-mind thing. Like, is there a pucker there? Because that's just a different level of pressure when your country cares that much about the sport and you haven't won one since the 60s, whereas Argentina, I'm not saying it's free
they
and easy.
They care a lot.
I know that they do, but it's a little bit of a different vibe when you just won it 4 years ago.
I don't think the fans feel that way.
I mean, I'm not saying they do. I'm saying the pressure internally for the players of like, that's almost 100 years of drought that is hanging. Like, it mattered. Why didn't the Cubs and Red Sox do it for 100 years?
Well, one, bad team building, especially in Chicago. But
and then you get to the playoffs and what would happen?
The thing I would say, though, Dirt, because I was thinking about that a little bit because they kept citing that on the broadcast. They haven't won since 66. Is it that hanging over you, or is it just simply their strategy was really stupid?
That's part of it for sure.
Because their manager might get fired for this.
Yeah. You get like, to the Final Four and you park the bus with a 1-0 lead against Argentina.
1-0 is not, to me, against a player of Messi's caliber and a team of Argentina's caliber, not enough of a leeway there.
No.
To say, let's just sit back and play defensive players.
And how many
you
games
keep striking.
Have they trailed in the tournament and come back and either and come back and won? It feels like Argentina's been trailing in every game that they played.
You know,
late in the game, and you're like, oh my god, they miraculously scored 2 goals in the last 10 minutes.
There is one team and one team only that hasn't lost to the two teams in the World Cup final.
Oh,
that played in the World Cup.
Who was that?
Cape Verde.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tied both of them.
Well, didn't they beat? They lost Argentina, though. That was a knockout game, was it not?
I don't know. I saw a stat that was like the only
maybe
team
not
that
in
didn't
regulation.
Lose.
I thought that was a knockout round game. Maybe I'm wrong. I know that
I'll look it up, but I know I saw that Cape Verde and I started laughing.
They drew with Spain in the first game, and everybody's like, oh my
Remember,
God.
Remember, that was the shocking start to the World Cup.
I live bet Cape Verde over Spain in that moment, thinking, and then they ended up drunk. But I thought that was a like round of 32 game against Argentina. And they got out of group stage, and they blew it, and they felt like they should have won.
The World Cup final will be between two teams who couldn't beat Cape Verde in 90 minutes.
Yeah, and regulation
that
time.
That's what it was.
Which is remarkable in and of itself. Let's give them the trophy. They almost felt like they became the story of the whole thing.
Well, so do you buy – because, okay, so what's a lead in the NFL or college football for you – that is the line between safe, not safe?
You can start running the ball and, like, not really caring anymore?
Look. I don't mean to like try to defend anything. It's devastating to watch your team lose in a championship.
Yeah.
My NFL team lost a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But people talk about a 10-point lead as if it's like a 30-point lead, and I get it because like history of stuff.
To me, it's a 3-score game. Whether it's
10-point lead is not safe.
That's 2 possessions easily. And
it can happen quick.
One of those possessions could be a 57-yard field goal where you're almost kicking it from midfield.
Yep.
So it's a 3-possession game.
17 points.
17 or up. 21.
6 or 7 minutes left.
So you need to score 3 different times, and I have the ability. You're going to use your time. Even if I go 3 and out and just run the ball, I'm running 2 minutes off the clock.
But 17 at the start of the fourth quarter, are you feeling like it's over?
Yes.
I'm not.
I am, yeah. 17, really? Like if it's a 38-21 game, start of the fourth, who has the ball at the start of the fourth quarter?
Let's say the team down 17.
Then it's not over. But if I have the ball at the start of the fourth quarter, like starting a possession up by 17.
But you could do a possession in a minute and a half.
I mean, you could, yeah. They could score quickly, or you could run a little bit of time off and kick the ball back. But my point just being, if you run the clock and run the ball and don't stop the clock and they're not using timeouts, there's a chunk of time that's going to come off the clock, even in a 3 and out.
So the only reason I asked you that question is because I don't think 1-0 is 17-0.
No, God no.
Or a 17-point lead.
I mean, that's the equivalent of having that's 28-21, and you're just running out the clock. Like, let's get a little aggressive here. The game's not over yet. Let's keep trying. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy the history thing being over them. I think it was bad strategy.
I mean, that's definitely a part of it, right?
They,
you
they
don't
got
do
to
that.
The semis.
I just always wonder when you haven't done it for so long that I there's a part of me that thinks the whole country's anxiety and like you feel that in
How
your bones.
How can you feel that in Atlanta, Georgia?
Because there are a lot of fans there, man. And they know especially when you give up the first goal.
Be the tiebreaker
and
your
it's
swag.
Tied 1-1.
Did history lose that for England because of everything that they've gone through since they last won it? Or do you think it was just bad strategy?
No, the manager lost it.
Yeah.
So you don't think Red Sox players felt the curse?
No.
Before they won the World Series? That wasn't on their mind at all?
I don't think,
ball went through Buckner's legs in the World Series?
No, I think Buckner
was 9,000 years old and couldn't bend over that far.
Yeah, I think you feel it. I think you feel it as an athlete.
I think you have Harry
I'm not
Kane
saying it's the reason they
it.
Lost the game. Strategy is the prominent reason why they lost the game.
But you're saying they're
I'm just saying there's
the
a mentality as an athlete. Like if you're Argentina and you just won, it's not house money because they care deeply about it.
Right.
It's just, they just won it 4 years ago.
But you're also saying
what are you gonna do? Go
side.
Win it again? Okay.
Yeah,
great.
No, I get what you're saying from Argentina's standpoint, from England's standpoint. I just don't think Harry Kane.
I think there's a tightness. I think there's a pressure that comes with it late in the game when you haven't won it.
I don't know if I agree with this.
Yeah, I think that is.
I hear this often in sports of like the history of something something hanging over a team.
Sure.
And I just don't know if I think Bill Buckner just didn't put his glove on the ground.
There's a lot of those Boston Red Sox moments.
Oh, it's rolling at me. Haven't won in 80 years.
What about Tim Wakefield's knuckleball, huh? He's probably thinking about that curse when he gave up that home run.
I don't think that goes in his brain
at all. Boney hit that bomb.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
The curse continues.
Curse continues. We'll get to that. We'll get to the cup, the call from Telemundo, the game-winning call on the other side. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. It is 6:41 on the Fan.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Cafe de Dirt and Spray coming up here at the top of the hour.
By the way, I do need to, I appreciate the jokes. I'm not saying a 17-point lead is like, I know that the game is over. You asked me the feeling of like, what lead makes me confident in thinking that the game is over?
Well, so here's
I'm not
thing.
Saying it's impossible to come back because every Oregon State fan is making the same joke. Because
yeah.
I think Oregon led 38-21 the time they ran it 800 straight times
sure.
in Lanning's first year. I'm not saying the game is over. I'm saying, and how did I feel going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I thought the game was over.
You score one time and you win that
And both
game.
Of you were texting what at the start of the fourth quarter?
We're going to come back and win.
No, you were not. The game is over.
You have no evidence.
And I had my cursed jersey on, and that's why the jersey was even more cursed. So I appreciate the joke. I did not forget that game. The question was what
Defend
lead...
Defend yourself by lying about us.
What lead makes you feel safe as if mentally I go to the place of like, all right, this thing's over. People texting in about the Alamo Bowl, like, all right, like starting quarterback and center goes down and you can't throw or snap the ball. That's a little bit different.
Let's remove Oregon for a second for the people that hate Oregon and want to troll you at 6 a.m.
I mean,
I
appreciate it. It's good. Take a shot. I love it.
If we go into a fourth quarter of any football game, my team, know my team, whatever.
Right, just any football game.
At the start of the fourth quarter, to me, a 17-point lead does not feel safe. And I know statistically it probably in the history of the game says it's safe.
Yeah, I mean the chances of erasing a 17-point fourth quarter
But the way that football is played now, it just and I remember feeling this way about the Super Bowl and then people talking about the Niners blew a 10-point lead and I'm like, why does 10 points matter to people?
Yeah,
like
I don't the 10 is ridiculous.
I thought that was an odd takeaway and that's just a few years ago. The Packers Bears game that we just watched in the playoff, like I just feel like we have examples of teams that I can't give you exact deficits.
Right.
But 17 at the start of a fourth quarter, if I'm the fan of a team up 17, I'm like, dude, we have to score one more time. Like,
well,
this
again,
game is
yeah.
not over.
The tough part with that, too, is like, what's the context of being up by 17 at the start of the fourth quarter? Does the other team have the ball on the 22-yard line going in? Or do I have
it's
the
not,
ball at
it's
midfield?
Not Oregon, it's not Oregon-Texas Tech.
Right.
You were up 6-0, and I'm like, this game's over. This is a dangerous team who's not played well.
Sure, but
there's
again, time and space, right?
Advantage.
Do I have the ball at midfield? Am I driving up 17? Do they have the ball on the 19-yard line going in? And
well,
this down
going
like,
in, you're
there's a different
great.
Feeling, right? Yeah. A lot of this is context of the moment. I see the point. I'm not saying it's impossible, but yeah, like if Oregon has a lead of 38-21 or whatever score you want to come up
Let's
with
use
up by
38-21. Oregon is punting the ball at the start of the fourth quarter to Ohio State. Where are you at?
I'm feeling confident. Okay. I'm not saying the game's over,
so
but I'm feeling
good
I'm feeling good about very good about our chances to win.
Totally.
Not saying
it.
It's impossible to come back, but yes, I feel very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't
famous
think...
last words, because now that's gonna happen in November. They're gonna be up by 17 and give up 21 unanswered, and all you jackasses are gonna text in. Dirt, how's that lead?
You're gonna get so
God,
upset.
I'm gonna get killed for
You'll
that.
You'll be on no sleep because the second kid'll be here to
Chocolate ice cream, Dante. Chocolate ice cream. Make a decision. Pick the right flavor.
And all my point is, a 1-0 lead in soccer is not enough
that.
For a coach
it
to be pulling strikers or changing strategy to park the bus, play defense.
Do soccer people feel safe for the 2-0 lead? Or is that like a day? There's
not
a thing in hockey.
Not when you play a player of Messi's caliber.
Yeah,
I don't
say
think.
3-0, you feel like the game's
5
over?
5 minutes to go in regulation. I mean, there's difference between, I mean,
yeah, what point in the second half?
At what point?
Yeah.
If it's 2-0 at the point where everything's switched, I don't think Argentina does the comeback. Because 2-0 makes you feel so differently than 1-0.
It also, and I don't know jack about soccer. It is funny when you park the bus, isn't the theory supposed to be you're better defense, like you're kind of packing
the
paint.
You're going all defense.
You're going all defense.
Yeah.
after they did that, Argentina was getting a shot off every 90 seconds.
They had added, they countered that with their offense.
Here we go.
We're going all offense here.
Just boot it down to the other end of the field. What are you doing, man? There's no icing in soccer.
I love a good strategy, no strategy. What's a good strategy? Like, I remember watching my team play in a hotel in Lakewood this past season during the Premier League. And my team's in a relegation battle. They're playing at West Ham. They need to win this match to separate themselves pretty greatly. They were up 2-0. My family's like, can we leave now? And I was like, not quite. They scored the third goal, and I went, we can leave.
Now we can go.
3-0?
3-0.
You ain't coming back from that with like 12 minutes to go.
3-0 is over in soccer.
It's over.
That ain't happening.
It's over. There is no we think.
It's Vince Carter. It's over.
We got a lot of college football in the notes today.
We do.
Got some audio. I'm going to get some audio in the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk some college football today. The media day. Oregon's media day is next week, guys. Next Wednesday.
Yes, it is. Next Wednesday. We get Dan the Man out in Chicago.
Are they in
Indianapolis?
Chicago?
Is it Indianapolis again?
It's in Chicago.
I thought it was in Chicago this year.
Really?
I mean, that's a better move.
Yeah, I want to go to that.
Would you rather go to Chicago or Indianapolis? It's not even close.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather go to Big Ten media day?
Yes.
Or the Tahoe Pro-Am?
Tahoe Pro-Am. Do I get to play in it?
No.
Big Ten media day.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If I get to play in it, not even close. Now, if I'm just watching Jerry
Rice. What if I told you you got to practice?
Did you see the video of Jerry Rice chasing down a heckler at the tournament?
I didn't.
Somebody was hollering. I don't know what they yelled at him. And then he hit his tee shot, and the guy yelled four right after the ball left the club face.
Yeah.
And then ran away. He was doing some, so I'm doing it for content. And Jerry jumped under the ropes and chased him down.
Did he get him?
Like, which one is he? Which one? And everybody's pointing. He's over there. He's running that way. Now, the camera angle didn't have, like, you couldn't hear what was said. But after, like, 3 minutes, he ran back, and everybody was cheering him on. I'm like, good for Jerry Rice, dude. You're heckling Jerry Rice? At a golf tournament? What is the matter with you?
Jerry Rice, the just as fast as Randy Moss guy.
Yes, he is. Very quick, that Jerry Rice. Football speed, baby. Football speed.
Football speed's real.
He's also a great trash talker when he walks around pregame in opposing stadiums and fans try and talk trash to him and he just puts his rings out. He's always wearing all of them at all times.
I do like it. The one thing Jerry does do that I don't like, well, don't like, I don't, I just kind of laugh at when he wears the Niner helmet encrusted in gold in diamonds,
that the big chain, the big Flava Flav Niner helmet chain.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, he's pretty skinny, like in his old, like he's,
I just,
not
like Jerry, the, I don't know if we should be rocking this. It's good that you have the money to buy that necklace.
Half the size of your chest. It's just massive.
Yeah. If you were a former player, would you be around the team that you played for or your college program the way Irvin is on all fours?
Yes.
You would be?
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd wear every piece of bling that I won while I was there, too.
Are you doing that because you want to be seen and talked about? Or are you doing it because you genuinely love it?
I would love to still be involved with it, like still be connected with the program. In Miami's case, too, like Mario's a Miami guy.
Mario had
so
a funny quote.
He's coming home, and it's,
I didn't pull the audio, but Mario had a funny quote yesterday because he was asked about Michael Irvin, who's become very visible on the sidelines.
Yes, he is.
He's smacking water containers with his belt. Putting that belt to ass. He's barking.
Hoo, hoo, hoo.
He is sweating through his shirt in a way that doesn't make sense for a guy who's supposed to just be standing there and cheering.
Right, who's supposed to be sober.
And he said, it's great. I just can't have him kissing me on the cheek on television anymore.
I think it's what's holding Oregon football back. I need Anthony Newman next year barking on the sidelines.
Do you guys have anybody like that? Is it... Because Kenyon Barner's trying to do like a weird media player
Not
thing.
Really, no. There's a lot of alumni that come to games who are always around. If you walk around the field before the game, you'll see 20 to 30 former
who's
players.
Who's the most passionate former Duck?
But in terms of like passionate cheering and that angle, Anthony's like me. We watch games together and we quiet. We just kind of elbow whenever a big play happens. We don't say much. But we watch games in the press box so you can't cheer. Joey's up in a sweep. He's usually walking around pregame, but he's not down on the field. Not many watch the game down on the field. It's a pretty rare thing.
I think Oregon State's is Cooks.
Cooks.
If he's in town.
If he comes, is he on the field during the game?
He's on
fan?
The field.
He doesn't go up into a booth
clapping.
Or a
I mean, I'm sure his family's up there,
sure.
But he's usually on the field.
And we need more of those guys, man.
We do.
Somebody step up. We need a former Oregon player to get down there.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I think Nick Reed's out of the military now. Let's get him down on the sidelines running around. Still the all-time sack leader.
Let's get to Cafe de Dirt and Sprague Hour 2 on 105.1 The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.